Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode for the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At that time, to ask a question, press star one on your phone and record your name at the prompt. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to Nathan Bah. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, operator, and I want to welcome all of our participants. My name is Nathan Bah, and I'm the Director of Government Relations, the National Association of Rural Health Clinics, NARHC, and the moderator for today's call. Today's topic is AgriSafe, Healthier is Here, and we're joined by the Executive Director, Natalie Roy, and the Clinical Director of AgriSafe, Carolyn Sheridan. This series is sponsored by HRSA's Federal Office of Rural Health Policy and is done in conjunction with the NARHC. And we're supported by a cooperative agreement through the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy that allows us to bring you these calls free of charge. The purpose of the series is to provide rural health clinic staff with valuable technical assistance and RHC-specific information. Today's call is the 71st in the series, which began in late 2004. During that time, there have been over 18,000 combined participants on the bi-monthly RHC national teleconferences, now being done as webinars. As you know, there is no charge to participate in the call series, and we encourage you to refer others who might benefit from this information to sign up to receive announcements regarding dates, topics, and speaker presentations at hrsa.gov/ruralhealth/policy/conference-call/index.html. During the Q&A period, we request that callers provide their name and city and state location before asking their question, or you can type your question into the chat box at the bottom of your screen. In the future, you can also email questions to info@narhc.org and put RHCTA question in the subject line. All questions and answers will be posted on the ORHP conference call series website and the NARHC website, which is narhc.org. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Natalie Roy. Natalie?
Great. Thank you so much. And I'm so happy to be part of this presentation. I know that everybody is very busy and you have a lot of responsibilities. And so we're going to try to do our best to give you a good overview of AgriSafe and how we can be most helpful in the work that you do every day. Let me go ahead and get this Prezi presentation going. Whoops, sorry about that. Started at the beginning. I'm actually here in Louisiana, and we had, unfortunately, we've had some problems with our, as you know, this the devastation and the flooding, and it's taken quite a toll on everybody, and I certainly have a strong appreciation for rural health practitioners and the amount of volunteer efforts that's come out in terms of trying to make an impact in quite an emergency situation has been impressive. So I spent the day yesterday actually working at a Red Cross shelter in a neighboring parish and learned a lot about emergency response, and certainly the rural health professionals were such a vital part of that. So I have a lot of respect for the folks that you all work with in providing that frontline care. So AgriSafe's role is really about serving the agricultural population and recognizing that they have unique needs. And it's difficult, we know, for rural health professionals because go ahead and shut my webcam off so it's not too confusing. So I don't know if you can do that on your end, the moderator person. I can't seem to shut my webcam, but I'll let you guys do that. Our role, as I mentioned, is to really assist that rural health professional because we know that what happens when they're placed in that rural setting, they don't have all the resources to care for the agricultural community. And so AgriSafe was founded about 10 years ago to actually deal with that problem. We recognized, and it was actually started in Iowa, we recognized that there was a need for trained health professionals. And early on, these health professionals actually received some training at the University of Iowa about 10 years ago, and they then came together and decided to form a nonprofit. And so AgriSafe represents health professionals in rural areas, not just Iowa anymore, but across the nation, that don't have the resources to just develop an occupational health infrastructure for farmers, but want to pool resources to then care appropriately for the farming population. Let me go ahead and I'm so sorry about this presentation. I'm getting all sidetracked here when I started. Let me go ahead and start in the beginning. I'm sending you guys all over the place. I'm going to start right in the beginning. And I'm not going to worry if my webcam's on. I'll just deal with that. Okay. We are going to get this settled here. My first slide. This is my second. Okay. So our strategy, as I mentioned, we recognize that rural health providers are playing many, many different roles. And so what we want to do is train AgriSafe health professionals in rural areas within this healthcare system that they're delivering services. So it may be, in this case, with you all being involved with rural health clinics, we think it's a natural fit because if we can help the rural health clinic provider understand those occupational risks, then we've done our job of increasing the competency among that rural healthcare setting. So what are the groups that we're most interested in? Well, actually, they're the entire span of life because when you think about agriculture, the agriculture is a family event, right? We know that the workspace is also the home space. And so the services that we have to think about providing really start from the very young to the very old. And so if you look at our level of interventions, you'll see that we have programs for the teen that may be working aside of their parents doing probably the same activities. We have resources for the young health professional, I'm sorry, the young family that might be starting and having children. What does it mean to be farming and to be pregnant while farming? And then, of course, we all know that farmers don't stop farming. They farm until the end of life, and they do that with a lot of pride. And so it's our job at AgriSafe is to make sure that if an elderly farmer wants to continue to farm, that they have the best possible occupational health resources to do that. So we really focus on that continuum of life. So as I mentioned, we have a clear mission, which is all about training that network of health professionals. We want to make it easier for them to do that job. We know they can't just hang a shingle and say, all we do is agriculture, but we need to figure out how to simplify some of those challenges. Those challenges really involve the fact that there isn't a clear public health infrastructure for this. So if you look at public health services, you don't see a focus on agriculture. And so we know that particularly nurses are really on that front line that are providing a lot of that outreach. We like the fact that nurses receive training in this field and that we train them through both on-site and web-based training options. I'm going to explain a little bit about that. We also know that in an agricultural setting, you know, it may be an ag business, but it doesn't mean that there's a health and safety person at that ag business advocating for that employee. So these ag businesses really don't have someone dedicated to health as you might see in other industries. We know there's a strong dependence on local health care provider in rural areas and that, again, they may have very limited access to agricultural medicine. So how do we address these challenges that the rural health professionals facing when they're trying to take care of the needs of many different types of people and perhaps many other types of industries, not just agriculture? Well, we can't do this without the network that we've established. And so we continually look at what we consider champions, and we see them at the local level, the state, and regional level. And so if you look at our membership platform, it follows something similar. We have people who are members of AgriSafe at the individual level. Those are tend to be health professionals, and they're trying to access they join because they want to access our health services resources. Then we have organizational levels. So you may have, like I have in Maine, a group of federally qualified health centers that join as an organization. And then we have state affiliate level. And we also have international influence. And that came about because of the fact that we had partners in Australia who were wanting to follow the same model. And so we really are excited about the fact that AgriSafe is filling this niche that's not being taken care of. Okay, so at the end of the day, what do we actually do? We keep talking about trying to care for farmers. Well, one of the areas that we know needs to be done is clinical resources. So if you're a rural health professional, what is the standard? If you have someone who applies pesticides, what is the standard of care, what are some of the resources that you should have in front of you to deal with this profession and what you should recommend. And I'm going to show you a slide that we have on cholinesterase screening and why that was developed. We have advanced training programs. If you're not familiar with AgriSafe, then you may not know that every month we have webinars, and we do that both through bringing in experts to teach on those webinars, but we also have curriculum that we develop ourselves, and then outreach services. So those are going to be explained a little bit later in terms of going out to colleges and working with partners to bring our services out to the community. And I've already talked about this in education, and that's key. And then we have an ag health risk assessment. That ag health risk assessment is something that my colleague Carolyn will show you towards the end of the presentation. And that's on our website, and that is for you to use at your rural health clinic. It is a web-based health risk assessment meant for farmers. It's the only one in the country, and it's there to help you do a better job of taking that history. But what's great about that health risk assessment, it is generates recommendations for the farmer based on their input, and Carolyn's going to explain a little bit how that you can use that in your rural health clinic. And then, as I mentioned, we do have a college initiative. In terms of our resources and how we make those available, like most organizations, the best place to start is our website, and Carolyn will explain a little bit about how to navigate that. This screenshot is a little bit old, but you can see that we have avian influenza listed there right in the center under news and features. AgriSafe was the lead organization to respond to this epidemic. We know that over 40 million birds were dying in the Midwest, and we had farm workers who were dealing with the cleanup. And what happened was that there was not clear guidance on how to protect the people working with the cleanup. So it wasn't that we were concerned about the transmission of the influenza because it wasn't a threat, but we were concerned about the ammonia buildup and the impact for the person in the cleanup. And again, it gives you a good example. There wasn't any protocols on recommendation for personal protective equipment. It wasn't anticipated what this workforce might be experiencing. AgriSafe took the responsibility along with some NIOSH Ag centers to respond to this. So I hope that your rural health clinic will use AgriSafe as a go-to organization, especially when you have emerging issues that come about and you don't quite know how to react to the farming population in terms of that response. I'm going to kind of just jump and show you a couple of our fact sheets, and I know that this may not be coming through too as clearly as I'd like, but we have fact sheets that we've developed, and the audience is either the health and safety professional or the agricultural producer. And in this case, the heat-related illness fact sheet is for the producer. These fact sheets you'll find on our website, and we hope that you use them as a resource actually in your clinic setting. We would be really thrilled if you could print these out, have them at your setting, encourage your health professionals to pull those out, especially when they're talking to the farmer that they think may be at risk. This slide shows a couple of other resources we have, and we call it head to toe, and that's an area that AgriSafe has perfected over the years, which is what do you need from the head to the toe to protect yourself working in agriculture? And what's so unique about this occupational group is that they're not just doing one task. So they're not just unloading grain, which has its risks because they're unloading grain, and now you've got some respiratory issues in terms of dust, but they're also welding. They're also applying chemicals. They're also working under high, high stressful situations and under weather conditions. And so you think about how complicated this particular workforce is. They are doing so many different tasks. And so for each of those tasks, they actually require, in many cases, different types of protection. And when I say protection, I'm talking about personal protective equipment, you know, the goggles, the respirators, the Tyvek suits. And so just the world of respirators, you know, the N95s, and to even be able to navigate that, I'm going to show you a slide of how many choices there are. How does a health professional who might be seeing a farmer who's complaining every harvest of having, you know, a bad cough and respiratory issues, how does a health professional make a recommendation to that farmer when there could be so many multiple exposures. And that's where AgriSafe comes in. Our job, if we can get the attention of the health professional to look at these preventive measures, is to how do you make it easy for the health professional to make recommendations. This particular slide is showing you resources that we have for the agricultural producer. When I say producer, that's the term we use to explain the farmer or the agricultural worker. We would love it if rural health clinics printed these out, had them available, use them as a clinical educational tool. Okay, so these are just specific ones that, again, are for the audience of the producer. This is a map.
Natalie, can I?
Sure.
I want to make sure. So what you just said, that folks would print these out and maybe have them in their waiting room for the farmers or the agricultural workers who are there. So this is actually, these materials are geared towards the individual, not necessarily the healthcare provider.
Right, and we have both.
Okay.
And we're gonna at the end of the presentation, I'm going to show you how do you figure out where to find what you need for patient resources versus what's a resource for the clinician. And Carolyn's
okay.
gonna show you on our website how to find that.
Okay, great. All right, thank you.
Sure. And we want to make it easy for clinics to go ahead and put this information on their wall. So, for example, this particular slide I have up, this is in all the mats that are out there. There's a lot more choices than this, but these are the ones that we know at the end of the day, let's get some basic information out. So this would be a good example where a rural health clinic, if they're located in an area that they think that this would be helpful, they could take this and actually print it out to be a very large size and have it in their exam room so they can, the provider can point to it and say, okay, I want you to, think about this N95 because you're working with grain. The best situation is to actually have one of each of these masks in that examining room so you can actually pull it out, show it to them, and they understand they're basically walking away with a prescription for personal protective equipment from their provider. We know that farmers are going to be more likely to go get the right mask if they get proper information and if a health professional says, look, we can really cut back on what symptoms you're having if you take this time to do that. The problem is that health professionals just don't know what to recommend. And I would definitely, I want to emphasize that if you were to ask farmers what they're currently using, unfortunately, you're going to find a high number of farmers are going with that one-strap mask shipped in from China. It's not NIOSH approved. And when I say NIOSH, that's the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health. That's a federal agency that approves all the masks on the market. And if you look at the one-strap cheap mask in the hardware store, there is no NIOSH certification on this, no imprint. And unfortunately, that's being sold, and farmers are feeling good about making that step, but they are not providing the protection they need. So we have junky product out on the market that makes it harder to do the job on this. So I would really emphasize how important that is those masks are not helpful. And we're working on the rebuild of this, but I will tell you that we have a safety store up on our website where we had these products because we realized that farmers, if they went online to purchase them, for example, or went to their Home Depot because Home Depot carries NIOSH approved masks, there's still not the complementary information to go along with it because nothing was designed for farmers to say this is what you need. So we did have a safety store, and unfortunately we had hackers come in and crash the store, and so we're rebuilding the store. And the idea is that a farmer could go in, read information about, okay, I'm unloading grain, and they can select it, purchase it, and the sale of it, we sell it, then the proceeds go back to support our mission, and our prices are right in line with the competitors. They're not paying more, and they're supporting our cause. We like that idea because they can't always get access to a health professional that knows what to recommend, so we want to make sure to fill in that gap when they can't figure out where to purchase it from. So that safety store, we hope to have it slated to open up, the next couple of months, and certainly we can make announcements about that when that happens. Okay, so the next fact sheet I have is a campaign we have that we call Take Five. And this is another example of a great fact sheet that we hope that you can have in your office setting. And what we're asking the agricultural producer to do is to take 5 minutes of a very busy time with the health professional to talk about their occupation. And the reason why we're asking the farmer to do that is because we know that the health professional is so busy, they may not stop long enough to talk about the specifics of what that person does with their daily tasks. So we're looking to empower the patient to take action and say, well, could any of these things might be related to what I'm experiencing? So that's what this fact sheet is about. Okay. Carolyn's going to show you also on our website where you can see information about our college health program, which we're really excited about. And so I'm not going to steal the thunder there. I'm going to let her talk about that just a little briefly. But just want to let you know, this is an example where we go in, we work with ag colleges, we get the kids excited about prevention. They respond to it. They don't want to have the same conditions that their father before them or parents before them have. So we're seeing some great results. This college health program, we can potentially bring it to your communities depending on how well things are coordinated with Carolyn and that's effort, but she'll explain a little bit more about that. This slide is just to get you thinking about the fact that we also can provide services to agribusinesses in terms of the training initiatives, and most agribusinesses utilize our web-based platform for that. If your rural health clinics do any work in occupational health, then if they take the trainings that we provide, then they become more competent. And when they go out to businesses, then they can sell themselves as having competency in this area. So those agribusinesses trainings are very important for rural health clinicians that are interested in serving local ag businesses. This particular fact sheet is about OSHA, and it's not an area that most health professionals are interested in spending a lot of time in because it's complex. But again, if you're a rural health clinic and you have any type of services you do to any businesses, then you really do need to understand OSHA requirements and how OSHA's position in terms of what needs to be in place. For example, an industry has to have a respiratory program, and do you have a health professional that's qualified to go in and consult on that respiratory program or a hearing conservation program? So these are resources that AgriSafe has invested a lot of time in, and we do have trainings that correspond with these OSHA standards. This was an interactive video. I could show you through this, but we're not going to do that because of the time limitations. But I want to show this slide because, I know that we recognize that farmers are very busy, but they also deal with a lot of sophistication in their business. Farming isn't like sometimes people think, well, there's a couple of animals and we go out and feed them and, sometimes we maybe pay attention to technology. Farmers are very actively involved with technology. They have to be because they are looking at weather conditions. They're looking at prices of products and grain. And so I mention this because too often I think that there's sort of this mentality that we don't quite give farmers the credit to be able to navigate, resources that are on the web. And so one of the things that we're trying to do and putting more effort into is AgriSafe is looking at what type of trainings can we provide actually that can be directly benefit to the producer because they're not going to necessarily always have a health or safety professional that can deliver that information. I know I've jumped around back again to training, but I just want to show you this slide because we do a combination of web-based training, but we also know that if you can pull health professionals together for like 3 or 4 days, in some cases it's a week, then they go through what we consider like an institute type of course. It's an intensive, usually 3 to 5 day training. And these trainings, what we call AgMed trainings, AgriSafe is a vital part of that. We certify these trainings and meet our expectations, and we also instruct in that. Carolyn's the lead instructor. And what these trainings really allow someone to do if they really want to provide a real level of service in the community is that they get taught by experts in the field, so there's different experts on these issues, and then the idea is when they go back to their clinic setting, they integrate that new knowledge in how they deliver care. So really, these trainings have been going on for, 15 years. There's one in Iowa, Nebraska, Vermont, North Carolina, and actually Texas just did one recently. And we're hoping to grow that, to try to influence more of that in the future. This is a very, complex slide, but I wanted to show it to you because I know that health professionals are used to looking at algorithms all the time. And this is a cholinesterase algorithm. So do you take a baseline cholinesterase on a pesticide applicator? How do you make that decision? Because by getting that baseline, we know if they've had a poisoning, we can go back, repeat that cholinesterase test, and then see if it's changed from baseline. What happened years ago was that, there was talk about getting this for pesticide applicators, but there was no clinical algorithm for it. And so this is an example of a resource. We've got another page that goes with this that explains the protocol that we got together with the Migrant Clinicians Network and the National Farm Medicine Center and developed an algorithm to help clinicians make that decision. We're in the process of doing the same thing for pulmonary function tests for your armature. When do you take pulmonary function test of a farmer who perhaps works in the confinement? There's no standard for that. So AgriSafe sees their position of trying to kind of clear the murky waters and figure out, what guidance can we give clinicians. And certainly we would welcome any concerns or questions from the rural health clinics in terms of are you running into situations where you don't have clear guidance on, and we definitely would respond to that and to look to see if it's an area that we can help clarify, especially create a standard. This is another example of a fact sheet, and this one is different than the other one because this one is actually really meant for that health and safety professional because you can see it has to do with a hearing conservation program. So this would be one that you would not put out on your clinic for. I've mentioned about webinars. I want to just Carolyn's going to show you on our website how to find them. We're really proud of these webinars because we started these webinars back at a time when nobody was doing webinars, and we like them because we know that rural health professionals don't have the time to drive 4 hours for a training and back. And so we thought, let's get them these one-hour segments. Let's record them. They can view them on their own time if they can't view them live, and let's make them available. So we have AgriSafe in our library. We have over 60 webinars that people can access on what we consider on demand. And what that means is that you have to be a member to do that, and the membership is as low as $75 a year for an individual or $254 organization. What that allows somebody to do is on their on-demand webinars is to view that on their own time. And those webinars, as I mentioned before, are taught by experts across the country in fields that they specialize in. For example, we had a zoonotic expert present on needle stick injuries. What do you do when there's a needle stick injury, when they're using the needles on animals and they stick themselves? There's a lot of clinical aspects to that, right? What's the response to that? AgriSafe isn't an expert in all these areas, and so we really like the fact that we are the go-to organization. If there's a expert in a field, it could be farm worker health. It could be even dental health. They're gonna showcase their trainings through us because we've already built that platform for that. So please make sure to check out our offerings and our on-demand. Now, our live webinars, most of our live webinars that we do are free when we offer them. So you won't, if it's an outside expert, you won't see a cost. You don't need to be a member to access the live webinars. Farm Safety and Health Week, which is coming up, and if Carolyn has time, she can show you that page on our website. Farm Safety and Health Week is coming up in September. We have webinars every day that week, and they're on and they are accessible and open to the public, I hope that you can perhaps at least during that week, you know, try to see if you can promote those webinars. You may want to consider promoting them to your community. There's nothing that we do that would keep you from, if you're interested in letting your community know about these resources. So all the resources we share with you, feel free to pass them on. I've also mentioned in this slide here, you can see, to consider becoming a presenter. Now, we are always looking for topics that we might have not touched upon that are important. We were looking for presenters for that. The last piece is probably not related to the audience on this call, but we do have our webinars are being used in the academic setting. So they're used to complement course offerings to help students understand this population and their needs. So really our objective at the end of the day is that we want to have a situation where farmers and ranchers across the country have access to highly trained clinicians. We want to see that in a 50-mile radius that a farmer can go and find a health professional that has attended either the intensive week-long training or has invested time in the webinars. And we believe, and the reason why we say AgriSafe is because we also, if you go to the intensive training, then and you pass the test that goes with this, then you can make the claim on your clinic that you are an AgriSafe certified provider. You can take that name AgriSafe. You can talk about it in your community. You can get on the radio and say, I'm an AgriSafe certified provider. We have health clinics that are using that designation to help actually market their services. So we know that, you know, clinics do compete with each other, and, you know, the clinics that have invested time and sent health professionals, let's say as a nurse practitioner, for example, to the AgriSafe core course, they want to be seen by the pharma community as a go-to clinic, and we support that. AgriSafe will support your marketing efforts to distinguish yourself so that farmers can find you easily. They know that you're legitimate. We will place you on our map, which if Carolyn has time. I'm throwing all these things to you, Carolyn, but you have time. The map is there to make it easy for somebody to say, okay, is there an AgriSafe provider in my community? And if they look in the map, the idea is they should be able to find you on the map, and because we put you there and we've listed you as an AgriSafe certified provider. We're very proud when health professionals go through that intensive training because they've taken almost a week out of their busy time. They're certified because they've passed the exam. We want to make it easy for them to market that specialty in their community. So feel free, if you are one of those people that have gone to those trainings and you just haven't figured out how to showcase what you can do or you're interested in that in the future, feel free to connect with us. We want to make it easy for you to promote what you're capable of serving. That is actually the end of my part of the presentation. I'm going to go ahead and jump out of the screen mode. Thank you, everybody, for bearing with me in the beginning when I sent you back and forth on the Prezi platform. I didn't have it started quite right. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen and
Carolyn, are you going to share your screen?
Yes, I think you need to give me that ability to do that. Or I'm not sure. Do I request that permission? Or
I think Kaiser might be able to help us out with that.
Yeah, now I think that Natalie is out. You can do it.
Yep, I'm done. I did it. Sorry about that.
Well, hello, everyone. Can everyone, Natalie or our host, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you, but your screen isn't being shared at this point. You need to activate your shared screen.
Yes, I'm in the process of doing that right now.
Okay.
So I would also like to say that I'm very pleased to be part of this webinar with Natalie. And being the clinical director of AgriSafe Network for a number of years and living in a rural community in northwest Iowa, I certainly value the role that those of you on the webinar have today. The rural health clinics are vital and very important in the rural areas. So we certainly understand that the need to have resources, and I've worked in a rural hospital for a number of years, and starting in 1990, I became the clinical director for AgriSafe Network. And so I understood that very early on that it was a specialty area, and I was able to get training at the University of Iowa. And then really a number of individuals across the state and then eventually the nation to develop many of the resources that we're talking about today. I don't know. It seems like it should be this moment that maybe it's taking some time to download an Adobe Connect add-on. And so you're not able to see my screen just yet, I don't believe. Is that true?
Yep.
That's it.
So in the meantime, I think that, Natalie, if you're there, let's go back to Natalie sharing her screen for a moment. We can walk through some areas of the website together, since we both are worked hard on this website, so we know where things are. Natalie, are you there to share your screen?
Yes, I'll go ahead and share my screen, and then what I'll do, Carolyn, is you just, while you're talking, I'll just move the kind of navigate through the website so that people can understand, make that connection.
Right. Sure. Well, the first screen that you're seeing up there is our home page, and we try really hard throughout each week and throughout the month, depending on what's going on, to make this up to date and let you know what we're doing in AgriSafe, but also some things around the country that we think you might want to be aware of. We're particularly excited about our Total Farmer Health. You can see that down there, really, it's kind of a bright green with lots of little circles around it, and it's certainly a message that we're promoting at a high level. As many of us are hearing about total worker health, we think total farmer health is very important to think about how farmers also need to be thinking about total worker health and how does that look slightly different in some cases for the farmer, the producer, or the agricultural worker. Also, as you go down to the bottom, the getting involved stage part right there, you can see where we have our AgriSafe in Action newsletter, and that comes out monthly. We encourage you to sign up for that so you can get that dropped right into your email once a month. But we also have lots of archived AgriSafe in Action newsletters. And each month we try to find a few things that we think are very relevant, maybe some emerging issues, but also remind you of upcoming webinars, remind you of things that other organizations that we're partnering with are doing. So there's a wealth of resources right out there in our AgriSafe for Action newsletter. We try to also make sure that you understand about things such as the agricultural medicine textbook that just came out. You see that featured on our homepage right there. So we're going to go to telling you a little bit about our webinars because Natalie just got done talking about that. If you go to our training tab at the top, the training leads you to, first of all, some live webinar opportunities. And you can see from the drop-down box, we have a multitude of types of webinars. We have live webinars, on-demand webinars, which would be the ones that Natalie had talked about where they would be archived, and they are listed under categories. And then specialized training is that agricultural occupational health ag medicine course, and we make sure that people are aware of what's coming up in different parts of the country. I've been fortunate enough to be a part of those trainings across the nation for a number of years, and it was very surprising to me as a registered nurse who grew up on a dairy farm, farms in a rural area with her husband, to figure out what I didn't know until I actually took that training. And we also are very aware that as you move across the country, that those trainings need to look different. For instance, I just returned from a training in Nebraska, prior to that one in Iowa, prior to that in Vermont. And so those trainings looked different depending on what was happening in that, what happens in agriculture in that region of the country. We also want you to understand about the agri-producer resources, if Natalie want to click on that tab next there. And the reason that I moved to that one next is because in training we talk about how can you reach your audience, how can you reach the producers, the workers, the farm wife. And so what we know is that there needs to be some very specific resources based on topic for this particular population. So we focus on many times on the resources we've helped develop, but also on other resources that we have researched and looked at, so that we know exactly what we're recommending to you. The next place that ask Natalie to go to is the professional resources, which is across the top, and those are resources that we have decided are helpful to a clinician if you're in a rural health clinic and you want to find something specific to the agricultural population. So under professional resources, talk about we have those to provide you with resources if you want to click directly down on healthcare provider resources. Natalie, we should come up to see our integration guide. My connection is, I think things are starting to happen here with this Adobe Connect, so I'm not seeing exactly what you're seeing, Natalie. So, Natalie, can you tell me, are you showing the...
she has the AgriSafe healthcare provider resources is up on the screen that you were talking about.
Okay, perfect. I see that right now. I think there's kind of just a little bit of a lag here. So the AgriSafe integration guide, we worked on to put everything in one spot. We used to have a very thick binder with our resources, and that was something we had to keep updated. And now we're saying let's point you in the direction of a place right out there on our website where you can get the things that we think probably are what you're going to think about the most. Including some screening forms. We've got examples of clinical screening forms, not saying that you need to necessarily use these, but you may find some ideas on how to either modify existing resources that you have or clinical screening forms, and just remind you of the things that we need to make sure that we're asking the producers, the farm wife, youth when they come in, lots of good ideas about what's maybe a little bit different about AgriSafe, agricultural health and safety in the rural communities. One thing that Natalie mentioned when she was showing you a number of our resources in her presentation is that there are ones that are for the producer, and then there are ones we're talking about for the professional. But as many of you that are on this webinar know, that sometimes even those resources that are designed for the client, as a clinician, I can learn from those, or I use them as teaching tools, and it reminds me of some things that I want to be sure and mention when I'm doing education. So particularly the respiratory selection guide, the thing that looks kind of like a rainbow with all of the different respirators, that's designed for not only the individual who's trying to figure out a respirator, but for us as clinicians, how do we make the right recommendation? So both types of people can use them. A clinician can use a resource that also is very applicable to give that to the producer as well. I think that we'll move on to the College Health Program here for a moment.
Yeah, I'm going to jump to the Ag Health Risk
Assessment. Oh, yes, the Ag Health Risk Assessment. Yeah, go ahead and click on that. As you, all of you on the, I was trying to take notes, Natalie, as you were talking. Natalie mentioned several things I was going to show you, and I was madly writing down notes like, okay, what exactly was I supposed to show? So, yes, the Ag Health Risk Assessment tool, we feel could be a very helpful addition to people's care when they come in to see you or see the physician or a nurse practitioner, or even before we see our primary care provider as a nurse, I could take a look at this. So the idea is to have people fill this out on their own time and determine what some of their own health risks may be related to farming. I did notice, on my provider page here locally in Northwest Iowa, there's something very similar to this now where it says, assess your health before you come to see us. And so it was talking about cholesterol, blood pressure, and just some common things that we go to for a preventative health screening. This is very similar to this with the addition of the agricultural risk. So we want to make sure that people are thinking about what their risks are, because we know as healthcare providers we're very busy and we may not always remember to ask the right questions, and sometimes there's not a lot of time. So if someone can come to their appointment well prepared with their concerns, and particularly to point out their exposures, that's very helpful. So if anything, I would encourage you to go take a look at this yourself. Click through and maybe just take a good look at that, maybe give you some ideas about questions that we can be asking or maybe even promote this when people are coming in to access care.
And just to the ability for the recommendations are so critical because if somebody, for example, says they work in a confinement operation and they don't use personal protective equipment, it's going to recommend what they should do. So it really becomes recommendations specific to that person's exposures.
And depending on, you know, how people answer, there'll be different recommendations that come up. So I think if we would go ahead and go, if you're ready, Natalie, to move on to the College Health tab. This has been a program that's started in Northwest Iowa in the early 90s, and about 4 years ago, we became aware that there was a lot of interest in other areas of the state of Iowa and then also in the nation. And so we were very fortunate to receive funding to move this program to other areas of the country. And our primary goal really is to partner with 2- and 4-year agricultural colleges and provide some occupational health educational services. And it is designed to understand the risks of the students before we arrive in the classroom. We do a pre-survey, so we know exactly what types of exposures and also what kind of personal protective equipment or what they're doing for health and safety in agriculture before we get there. There's a lot of interaction with the students. We know we can't be stagnant. We don't have general lecture. We have lots of demonstrations. We also have a strong partnership with 3M, and each student receives about $60 worth of personal protective equipment at the end of the class that goes from safety glasses, chemical-resistant gloves, coveralls, hearing protection, 2-strap respirators, and also the ability to get a canister respirator if they so desire and if it works, if it's what they need for their work environment. So we really want these young students to become their own health and safety advocate by providing them knowledge, but also providing them with some of the tools that they need to be able to go home or actually be on the college farms and use personal protective equipment appropriately. And many, many times we see the students very concerned about their father, their grandfather, their brother, or even their peers, and they are taking this information home with them, asking about ways that they can get more personal protective equipment. So we are slated to reach about 1,000 students in several states in this upcoming year, but we're also very interested in reaching other areas of the country that we have not been. So certainly reach out to me. My information is on the website, my email address as well as my phone number. If you would happen to know of a 2- or 4-year college in your area that you think that we could partner with to promote this program. This also talks about, it also leads me into talking about young workers, meaning workers that may be younger than the college student. And we're also fortunate to be a recipient of a Susan Harwood training grant where we are addressing young workers and going into the high schools. And we have some very specific programs. One of them would be related to hearing, the other related to personal protective equipment, and we've got some new topics coming on this year related to sun safety is one of them. And so our goal is to begin to look at not only college-age students, but high school-age students. And having delivered some of those programs this last spring, those high school-age students, are also very interested, and certainly are willing to take suggestions, particularly if the information is given in a fun and informative way. And so we're as Natalie said at the beginning of her presentation, we're looking at the continuum of life, starting at the early age as possible and going throughout, until the elderly farmer decides to quit farming, which most generally is never. So the thing we're excited about, too, about the College Health Program, which I should have mentioned, is we do provide some clinical-type screenings for these students to give them some baseline information, hearing screening, blood pressure, BMI, and in some cases even a baseline type of a lung function screening. So we, as you can tell, we have a lot of things going on. We're certainly busy with a lot of different projects and networking and partnering with a lot of organizations. I think Natalie did a good job of mentioning that we're not the expert in everything, and we certainly collaborate with lots of organizations across the country to have a strong resource for our rural health clinics, healthcare providers, and safety providers across the nation. Like to maybe finish up with showing people a little bit more about how to become a member, and also just clicking on there so you know where to go if you'd like more information about individual membership or also organizational membership. The ability to network does happen by knowing who's out there and how we can connect with them. As I said at the beginning, the newsletter is a great way to get real-time, on-demand type of information, too, about once a month. But also continue to check our website as we certainly are adding new resources all of the time and providing good information real-time. As you can see, the Farm Safety and Health Week is right up here, and the webinars are listed there for the entire week of September, starting September 19th. So, Natalie, I'm going to turn it back over to you. You've done a good job of walking through what I'm talking about. And before I stop, I would like to thank all of you who have joined this webinar today. I strongly believe what you're doing for the rural communities, the rural health clinics, is vital to the health and safety of our agricultural families, workers, producers. And thank you very much for what you're doing on a daily basis. Natalie?
Great. Thank you, Carolyn. You covered so much, and I appreciate that. And the slide, what I'm showing right now, is the Farm Safety and Health Week, which you can see we are hosting webinars every day. There's no cost to attend those. If you want to, as a clinic, if you want to start somewhere and say, well, what can we do to maybe do more for this community, this would be a great way to start, is to kind of embrace this week. It's a national effort. You see that there's organizations from all over that are celebrating this week, and a way that you might be able to celebrate it is to promote the trainings that are available. So we would be happy to work with you on that. We are, as far as the college health program that Carolyn mentioned and the training for high school students, those are both grant-funded, so that means that there's not a cost for those type of initiatives, but because there's a high demand and we are a national entity, it's sort of like the squeaky wheel is the one that we respond to. So if you're interested in getting those types of resources in your community, please reach out to us, and we'll work at the scheduling of that. So we're done with our presentation, but I think there might be some questions we'd be happy to answer.
Sure. Operator, would you like to give the instructions for those who'd like to ask a question over the phone?
Absolutely. If you'd like to ask a question through the phones, please press *1 and record your name clearly when prompted. Your name will be required to introduce your question. If you need to withdraw your question at any time, you may press *2. Again, to ask a question, please press *1 and record your name. It will take a moment for questions to come through. Please stand by.
While we wait for questions to come in on the phone, we have a question from the chat. From the chat box from Clinicas del Camino Real, who wants to know, are any of the materials on your website or any of your other materials in Spanish?
Yes, great, great question. And we, this is a question that is coming about more often than not. And so it tells us as an organization that we need to think about how to find some resources for that. We don't have resources right now to do that with what we've developed, but we do allow other folks to go ahead and do that translation. The head-to-toe fact sheets that I showed you that had, it had like a big person on the side, we do have a partner organization, University of Nebraska, that will be translating those resources in Spanish. And if you go ahead and email me at nroy@agrisafe.org, I can certainly notify you when those are done.
Great. Operator, do we have any on the phone?
I show no questions through the phones at this time, but again, to ask a question, please press *1 and record your name.
I have a question, or just I'm curious. do you find, particularly when it comes to the occupational safety and health, that there is a level of distrust or skepticism in the farming community with regard to the government? And is that an issue your folks, you talk to people about having to deal with, of how to present this to their patients? Is there that kind of, oh, that's Washington talk, we don't need that kind of stuff in our community?
I'm going to let Carolyn answer that because she's right involved with the farm community every day.
Yes, I think I just need a clarifying question back to you. Do you mean government meaning OSHA? Is that what you mean? Would there be?
Well, government is, you know, they see OSHA, but you know, they look at it and go, you know, my father didn't have to do this stuff. My grandfather didn't have to do this stuff. I'm not wearing any mask. This stuff, is there just a inherent distrust that you encounter that folks need to be prepared to deal with, or is that not an issue?
Yeah, I would say no. I haven't seen it an issue, and I've worked with the rural population in Iowa and with lots of other clinicians across the nation. I don't think they see someone wanting to help with health and safety as governmental influence. I think that they're thankful for someone who does understand the risks and has some suggestions, and particularly if someone's willing to listen to what they have to say or really knows how to ask the right question. You know, for example, in the spring, if someone comes in, if I can say, hey, are you working with pesticides? And don't forget, you know, look at your label. And that's, it's not a judgmental type of a discussion. It's just simply a reminder. And if someone in the health and safety world understands them well enough to ask the right question and provide some good guidance, they're certainly receptive to that.
Good.
I think, go ahead.
No, I think that's good. I was just curious.
I think that there is some concern, you know, of OSHA regulations and how that impacts family farms versus, you know, maybe different parts of agriculture that need to comply with OSHA. We have a great webinar on that talks about the agricultural exemption related to farming, but we certainly always advise and want people to understand that we should always protect ourselves whether we have to comply with OSHA or not according to an exemption that's very poorly understood. So I think that with education as healthcare providers or health and safety professionals, you know, that in itself takes away that worry or wonder, who's telling me to do this? It's because I care about your health and safety as your provider.
Great.
You see, there's a question about getting a copy of the presentation, and Bill, I think you all have a plan for that, or?
Yeah, what we'll do is it will be posted up on the Office of Rural Health Policy's website. We were trying to get it posted up on the NARHC website. Unfortunately, the size of the document in terms of the slides were too large to be able to get out to the office in Michigan to get them to load it up. So we will get it loaded up onto the NARHC website for download as well. We just have to figure out how to get it to them in a zip format. And then we'll send out notification on the listserv at when those are available for download.
Great.
Operator, do we have any other questions?
I show no questions in the queue at this time.
Okay, great. Any closing remarks, Natalie or Carolyn?
Thank you for the opportunity and sticking with us with the little hitch up there in the beginning. We are a national organization, but we are certainly a small group that's willing to respond. Don't hesitate to pick up the phone. We don't have to be reached by email all the time. We'd love to hear from you and certainly get a sense of some of the challenges that you see happening in your community. So please make sure that we're a resource for you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Well stated, Natalie. And once again, echo what I said earlier. Thank you for the time and effort and the things that you do on a daily basis for this population. Have a good rest of your week.
Great. I'd like to thank everybody on today's call, especially our speakers, Natalie and Carolyn, for their presentation, as well as the Office of Rural Health Policy for this RHCTA series. Just a reminder to please encourage anyone else who may be interested to register for the RHCTA series. We welcome you to email us with your thoughts and suggestions for future call topics. at info@narhc.org. Please be sure to put RHCTA topic in the email subject line. The next RHCTA call is scheduled for Thursday, September 15th at 2 p.m. Eastern, and I believe it's going to be on rural health clinic participation and alternative payment models, so certainly an interesting subject. A notice is going to be sent by email to those who have registered for the call series with the details for the next call. And thank you for your participation. This concludes today's call.
Thanks, everybody.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time. Speakers, please stand by for post-conference.